This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. I know that the NFL guys, Jensen, they're excited. I guess most of them are excited to report to camp. What was that like for you guys that first day where you're going down, whether it's Florida, Arizona, you name it? You kind of get those first day feels again, like a lot of guys are around the National Football League.
Yeah, well, it depends on the situation. With Cleveland later in my career, you know everybody. It's good to see each other. The first couple of years, we moved from our facility in Winter Haven, Florida, out to Goodyear, Arizona. I actually had moved out there about a month or two early because I had never lived in the desert full time. So wanted to get acclimated. It's a brand new facility, so you want to see all the new toys and new setup. And it was like a completely different solar system of a setup compared to what we had at old Winter Haven. And then the organizations I played with Arizona, the Diamondbacks in 2012 and the Cubs in 2013, it is a first day at school. You know, kind of introducing yourself. You've run around and seen some guys maybe you've played against, you've been teammates with in the past, new coaching staff, new training staff. I was always someone who wanted to get to the facility a couple of weeks early just to get up to speed on how everything works. And every place is different. But it is always good when you get the full squad together because now it's down to business. You get that first speech from the head coach, in our case, the manager, and really setting the course. And the mentality for what this year is going to look like. I don't think it's going to be what John Harbaugh did with day one for the Giants that we saw, but hopefully it is a little more inspiring than that.
Well, those legendary stories of Tom Brady going up to all the rookies. Hi, I'm Tom Brady. I'm sure they're like, yeah, I know exactly who you are. I think everybody knows who Baker Mayfield is down there in Tampa Bay, but how long will he be a Buck? That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
I'm sure this is not what Todd Bowles wanted to have us talking about in 2 days in a row. Yesterday, it's Vita Vea, the big man wants out, or he says he's not going to play for the Buccaneers this year. Now, that's not what Baker Mayfield is saying. He's saying, all right, you don't want to give me a new deal because this is the last year of my existing deal. Then that's fine. I'll play out the string with you guys. But we're not talking contract anymore now that we're in training camp. I wonder if that'll change because, you know, representatives can still do stuff behind closed doors and maybe the player doesn't even necessarily know everything that's going on. But Baker Mayfield, that's what he says, Jensen. He says, all right, fine. No deal, no problem, but we're not talking again until the end of the year.
Yep, par for the course, I think, in a lot of these situations, Dave. And I think it will motivate not only the player, but I think it will motivate the group. And that got me to thinking about asking you of a couple of season-long player props for Baker Mayfield. I wonder if this is low to you and kind of walk along with me here. So Baker Mayfield's season-long passing yards prop, 3,599 and a half. His season-long passing touchdown mark is 25 and a half. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's not some otherworldly running game that I missed here in Tampa Bay where they're just going to turn around and end off. I get it. Mike Evans is no longer there. Emeka Buka is your number one target, and he should be. Is that low? Is that too low, considering if the Bucs are going to be in these competitive games that we may be going through the air more often than not?
Well, that's my concern, though, Jensen, is that we kind of think of them as a team that throws it all over the lot with Baker and Mike Evans, right, and Godwin when healthy, and you kind of get the depth in that receiver room. Then you take away Mike Evans, the future Hall of Famers in San Francisco, and I go, are they switching the identity of the offense? Are they trying to keep Baker, you know, a little bit less active in that pocket, and he does hold on to the football, and he does take shots back there, and the shoulders do get hit and hurt with this guy a lot. So I wonder if they're kind of telling us that it's not going to be the typical Buccaneer offense. That does feel low to me, but I got to be honest with you. No contract, not saying he's going to go into body preservation, but if this thing goes south, down south for the Buccaneers early, I wonder if they all start to go, maybe we all have to look at a different thing. And that might even mean Todd Bowles might be out after this year too. So again, we'll see what this all means, a lot of weird smoke signals right now coming out of Tampa Bay before they even begin their training camps. I think with the Vita Vea news, knowing that he might, quote unquote, be on the open market out there, the Eagles said, guess what? Our D tackle, he ain't going anywhere. So Jalen Carter is now the highest paid DT in NFL history, getting his new deal there in Eagle Green. So Howie Roseman has locked up his guy. And the Browns have done it not once, but twice, making Denzel Ward again with a new two-year deal, the highest paid cornerback in the history of the NFL. I guess, Jensen, for some guys, we're going to make sure that everybody knows these guys are not on the market.
Yeah. And again, Denzel Ward, hopefully he can make it stand up. Now the second highest cap hit to only Deshaun Watson there in Cleveland. Let me ask you in the Jalen Carter front, because it was a theme you and I had hit for this offseason when we saw a lot of the defensive personnel leaving Philadelphia, whether by free agency or via trade. The Jalen Carter signing is great. Do you still have questions for Howie Roseman's group back there? Did they do enough to kind of plug the holes of the departed guys? And is this a unit that you would have confidence in as currently constructed?
You know, I am out of the business of doubting Howie Roseman now with the way that he puts his football team together, because it just feels like he figures out a way, Jensen, whether on paper or not. They've had some attrition now to that defense. They have. So you can't pay everybody. And it's kind of that curse of when you draft really well, which they have, can you keep all of your guys in-house? And they've not been able to do that, especially at the linebacker position. So I'll be curious to see what happens there. But up front, when you still have Carter and big man Jordan Davis, we'll have to figure about his cardio and whether that other really big man, how much they can actually play inside. But when Jalen Carter is right, there's a reason why coming out of Georgia, I know he had some off-the-field stuff that some people thought he could have been the number one player taken in that draft not that long ago. So I think Howie feels like he got the right guy, got him as a steal, if you will, where they got him, and they're going to make sure he's not going anywhere. Yeah, that front still gives me, as a Cowboy backer, a little bit of pause, that's for sure. For the Raiders, I think you look at Kirk Cousins as KC8, as QB1. That's not going to be the surprise. I guess the questions will be, ahead of Fernando Mendoza, will the natives get restless in Las Vegas saying we want to see the number one pick sooner than later? Because we all know what Kirk Cousins is, but I think what he is still a pretty good veteran quarterback.
I still cannot get away from, you know, looking at this guy is going to come out with all kinds of motivation to prove he's still got it. And to that end, unless it's a catastrophic injury early, I have to believe that Clint Kubiak, who just had life with Sam Darnold, if you ever wanted to champion a veteran who had been overlooked, who had not been given his due, what is going to change early in Las Vegas? I can't see anything changing there, at least in the first 4, if not 5 weeks. And even to that end, Dave, as we looked at the schedule for the Raiders, I'll just illustrate it out loud for people listening on Sirius Channel 158. Home against Miami, okay, should be a winnable game. You got the Chargers, then you have the Saints, and then it gets a little hairy here. Chiefs, Patriots, Bills, Rams. That takes you up to week 8, week 9, and that's where the Jets sit at home. So if you're going to make a change, in my heart of hearts, I don't think Clint Kubiak could do that to Kirk Cousins unless he gave him half the year to prove his worth. Like I said, this is injury dependent. If it's catastrophic or if it's something where he's not able to be 100% or at least get the offense competently up to speed, that's the only way I see an early Fernando Mendoza appearance here for the Raiders in 2026.
The only pushback I would say there is the one thing about Kirk, nobody's going to doubt the studious nature and how he's going to be able to educate Fernando Mendoza about where the football should go, when it should come out, reading the defenses. None of that is a question. I think the questions people are going to have now is the physical limitations, which he had coming out, which made him a 4th-round pick. And then coming off that Achilles just from a year and a half ago, like, is he fully back? Like, is he physically able to do the job? Because mentally, nobody's going to doubt that with KC8. I think it's just going to be the physical part. And that's where Mendoza, if he can get the brain power from Kirk and put it in the physical body of the rookie, then you might have something out there in the desert. That'll be very interesting to see. Same thing with Draymond Green. I mean, I think we all know that Draymond knows how to play the game. Can he still play at this elite level in year 15? That's what it's going to be for Draymond now. It's a pretty big deal, $27.7 million for 1 year to go back to the Bay. In context, LeBron just got a 2-year, $8 million deal to go to Philadelphia. So different money, different people, different stages of their career, but it still is year 15, Jensen.
The AARP group, man. Good luck to you. Let's see. We were kind of joking load management about the Sixers and trying to get all the studs some time off. I mean, how many games, what's the over under? How many games Steph and Jimmy Butler and Draymond play this year? That would be an interesting market, man, to look at.
I mean, if you saw those guys coming at the YMCA, they've got next. They're going to beat you, right? But we're probably going to have to put some stuff on and make sure that all the body parts still work. But they're going to beat you at the YMCA. Can they beat you in the NBA? We're not quite sure yet. Tarik Skubal, maybe this could be the last hurrah in Detroit for the Motor City Kitties here. And again, he says he wants to be there, Jensen. I don't know that that matters to the front office, what the player actually wants. But do you think this is the last time we see Skubal teeing it up, if you will, for Detroit?
Yeah, more I kind of see around baseball, I do think we are finding that this will be the final start there with him in a Tiger jersey. Now, all that being said, Tigers avoided what could have been just a line of demarcation where it would have been a loss last night, I think, would have now pushed Scott Harris and company to say there's no coming back now. They kicked the extra point to make the two touchdowns stand up. Can they do it with their ace on the hill today? We shall see. But I think this is it for Tarik Skubal in Detroit.
Jensen, does that matter that an elite player says, I want to be here? Do they just look at him and go, we know, but we got to do what's best for the organization?
I said I wanted to be in Cleveland. Then you saw what happened there.
Let's hear from Jerry Jones. Is this the year for the Cowboys? It's next right here, Beeson by the Book. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with Beeson Pro. With Beeson Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday. Adam Burke, our managing editor, will join us in the next hour along with Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes. Get his thoughts on the Detroit Rocket Mortgage Classic getting ready to get underway tomorrow. But we know training camps are getting underway here across the NFL. And, you know, for the Cowboys, it's always interesting in the offseason. It had been kind of a quiet offseason. And then Jerry Jones decided to get to the podium, as Jerry does. And that's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Jensen, I will never be hypocritical on this matter. I know people, they, you know, shut up and dribble. Athletes don't talk, just play. I love it when people have something to say. Now, I know in Dallas, Jerry Jones has been a lightning rod for decades of, oh, Jerry doing the press conference. I absolutely love it. Now, do you always love what he has to say? That can be debatable. But you know how I feel about this football team this year and the construction that Jerry should get credit for, because he gets the blame too. Maybe the construction, Jensen, is not exactly complete, so says the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Candidly, I'd be very interested. I'd give up future to add substantive to where we are today as to a player, to give you an idea about would I invest something substantive to get the right kind of deal to improve us opening day? I would. I feel that good about this team this year. And of course, you know that I haven't seen this team play together. And so, but in general, looking ahead, I think we've got a chance to be worthy of spending some future if we saw an opportunity.
conversations that are ongoing, or is that something, hey, let's look at the first 2 weeks of camp and then address to see if you want to put something substantial?
I talked yesterday. I talked about a situation yesterday with another team and another owner.
As you can imagine, that soundbite sent Cowboy Nation just ablaze. Oh, we're getting Max Crosby. They're going to trade for Vita Vea. I mean, you name it. Whoever out there now, that's that mean, right? Like, they're already connecting dots based on that. But, you know, like, I think we have to give him his due for this time last year trading away Micah Parsons to get some of those picks that he's talking about and players like Quinnen Williams to put in the middle and Kenny Clark, right? Use some of that collateral to get those guys. And I think that's kind of the big scheme. So a lot of people are going, oh, Jerry's trying to get one more in there because we can't live forever. So he's got to get a Super Bowl now. He did do the kind of pass the baton a year ago, but now it looks like he's trying to make do and make good on some of those acquired picks.
All right. So what do they do then? You've been in these conversations. You're plugged in with the star. Where are they going here, Dave Ross? Who's the big move from this team they've had conversations with?
Max Crosby makes the most sense. It really does. It makes a ton of sense to get one more edge rusher. Look, the offense, we talked about it right here. We broke down this team here. The offensive line, it's one of the best units in the NFL. Running back, they've been able to piecemeal this thing together, and it looks pretty good. Receiver, we know with Pickens back here to go with C.D. Lamb, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Could they upgrade from Jake Ferguson, maybe a down year last year tight end? I think they're okay there. So really, the offense seems set. So if you're talking about a star player, I could only see that coming from the back end on the defensive side. And again, yeah, it could be a corner out there, but what corner would be worthy of multiple picks at this stage? To me, it's Max Crosby. That's the guy that it feels like, if we're reading the tea leaves, that's the type of guy, he's flirted with him before, that he needs a superstar edge rusher. At least he believes he still needs that inside. The Cowboys have gotten a lot better. And I actually tweeted this out yesterday. Vita Vea is not a need for this team. Like, if you told me a year ago that Vita Vea was on the block, I'd say, Jerry, you pick up the phone, you go make that call. But now they're pretty good inside with Williams. They're running a 3-4 this year, too, a brand new defense. So, you know, it's not your traditional 4-3 where you need to have two of those guys down in front there at the tackle position. You can spread that out however you want to do with that 3-4. So I think, with the new defense that he's got, it would make sense to get a Max Crosby. If you made me guess, Jensen, who he's talking about, I think that's exactly who he's talking about. I love this team's win total over 9.5. We talked about this. I do have them in the Super Bowl this year. I do not normally go that high. I've never said that on this network that I think, not seriously, of course, saying that I think this could be the year. Seriously, I do believe this year is one of those years you can take a stab at the Cowboys around 30-1 out there in the marketplace. And if they do make a blockbuster move like a Max Crosby, this number is going to come down, Jensen. I'm not going to say they would vault to be the favorites to win the division, because I think Philadelphia has earned that. But if Jerry is really talking about something else big, it's going to be defense and it's going to be impactful.
How big was the Aaron Rodgers deal with Mike McCarthy in that news? Because I know you've been super high on the Steelers. I know you think that this is going to be, you know, one of those matches where if this is the last hurrah, which Aaron Rodgers says it is, then what better way to go out with, the old cowboy next to him? Bigger implications now that maybe Aaron Rodgers got a little sign off from his own backyard.
Yeah, I think so. And here's the interesting thing about Aaron now. It looked like Mike Tomlin was going to be the last pairing, right? Even when they were playing against each other, the mutual respect. And we see it comes to fruition in Pittsburgh. And then Big Mike McCarthy takes over from Mike Tomlin. And you go, wait a minute. I was led to believe that they were on really bad terms when things left and Big Mike left Green Bay. And maybe, again, what you hear on social media is not real life. To that pass, you talk about hall passes. Who knew that Mike McCarthy would be a hall pass for Aaron Rodgers?
I thought last year might be it. And then Mike got hired, and I talked to the wife, and she said, you can do one more year. So I said, well, let's see if it works out. And then it kind of all came together.
Little coy smile there in the face of Aaron Rodgers. But isn't that interesting? You're right. Got to talk to the wife. You get the okay there. But the point is, though, Jensen, that I think everybody, because everybody makes up their own narratives, that Mike McCarthy held down Aaron Rodgers. Remember all that narrative? And they only won one Super Bowl together. Well, how many had they won since Aaron left? Zero. Right. So, like, I think sometimes the truth is not exactly what people want the truth to be. And it feels like the truth of the matter is, if I didn't like you, Jensen, I'm not going to go play for you my last year in Pittsburgh. Clearly, these two guys like the reunion idea, and that's what we're going to get in Pittsburgh this year.
One of the three burning questions in our VSiN NFL betting guide, a smooth ride into the sunset in looking at, you know, the weapons that Aaron Rodgers will have around him and the system, you know, as well as anyone, Dave, that Mike McCarthy loves to run offensively. Well, this isn't too bad, right? You get Rico Dowdle, who's already very familiar with a Mike McCarthy offense. We mentioned DK Metcalf. Michael Pittman comes over. I still think Jeremy Bernard runs a pro-style offense there at Alabama. I think he'll fit seamlessly, can do a lot of different things. And if he earns the trust of Aaron Rodgers early, might be a sneaky guy week to week to play over receiving yards, knowing what that kind of camaraderie could really produce.
I like this football team. I think the Michael Pittman acquisition from Indianapolis is going to be a really big one as well. So, like, it's not one of those things where I'm going to go, hey, Aaron, just hand the football off. And, you know, we'll give you a little ceremony on the way out and it'll be a nice last year. That's not what they're thinking. I think they're thinking that this division, which they won a year ago, is going to be very, very competitive. And if you can keep Watt healthy on the outside, the defense actually was a little bit more disappointing, I thought, than the offense. I didn't think Rodgers had a ton to work with last year offensively, and yet they still went out there and won the division. So to me, I'm looking at the Steelers as a team I'm taking very seriously this year in the marketplace. I don't have any plays on them yet, but I think you nailed it. If you know Big Mike's system, it's very quarterback friendly. It was very quarterback friendly for Aaron in Green Bay. It was very much so for Dak Prescott in Dallas. He got great years out of Dak Prescott in Dallas. There is no reason for me to believe that in this going out party for Aaron Rodgers, that it's not going to look good. The only thing that would make it not look good is if they can't protect him up front, because we just know he's not as nimble as he once was. And part of Aaron's superpower, besides that arm, which might be one of the greatest arm talents we've ever seen in the history of the league, was his legs. So, you know, you don't want this guy running to the boundary here and trying to make plays with his legs as he used to do years past and throw it. We saw the Hail Marys and all those things all those years, those dynamic plays. That is not the Aaron Rodgers that's going to win for Pittsburgh this year. But Jensen, I wouldn't be looking to fade this football team just because you go, oh, they got a retread in Mike McCarthy and they got an old man in Aaron Rodgers. Those two guys know each other like the back of their hand. I think the offense day one, it might click a lot better than you saw how frustrated Rodgers got with the offense sometimes last year because guys didn't know where to be. They're going to know where to be in this Mike McCarthy offense.
Sneaky survivor spot, Steelers week one at home against the Falcons. Pittsburgh has won the last five straight up and ATS against Atlanta. Heyo.
Very sneaky, except, you know, I like those Dirty Birds a lot this year too. I don't know if I can put my heartstrings through run those emotions in week one if I've got the Steelers out there in Survivor. What about what's happening in Major League Baseball? A lot of changing parts here. We get closer and closer to the trade deadline. That's next year. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The NFL betting guide is out right now as we speak. You're going to bet those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, the Roy, or the Super Bowl. Our guide's going to help you get ready as training camps are set to begin. Going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Training camps underway, contracts getting done. Oh, by the way, we've got the Major League Baseball trade deadline is coming up August 3rd as well. So Jensen, a very busy time of the year in multiple sports. The big one to talk about, of course, is Tarek Skubal. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. It's the most wonderful time of the year for rumors, innuendo. What are we going to see? We think we're going to get Tarek Skubal in a last start potentially for Detroit today. But I want you to hear from Ken Rosenthal, America, because this is what he had to say on Foul Territory, that maybe there could be a surprise team to watch in the Tarek Skubal sweepstakes.
One team we mentioned in the story today is the Braves. And the Braves obviously have a need for a playoff caliber starter. They've had that need since the offseason and haven't addressed it. The Braves have an improved system, and they are seen as a team that could do this. And Alex Anthopoulos, their president of baseball operations, made a trade like this once before. 2015, David Price. Hasn't really done it with the Braves, but hasn't really had the chance to get this kind of difference maker either. So that's going to be a team to watch, and that fact alone might drive the Dodgers to get involved in a greater way than maybe they want to be, simply to play keep away.
Oh my, our director Larry Mira is going to just be like, yes, bring him to LA. Let's the rich get richer. Tarek Skubal, let's go for three in a row. Jensen, what do you make of Ken's comments though, that maybe it's Anthopoulos and the Braves as a team we should be watching on the Tarek Skubal radar?
Makes all the sense in the world. You run out Chris Sale and Tarek Skubal in a playoff series, and that offense is healthy, or at least as close to it as they were at the beginning of the year. You're going places if you're the Atlanta Braves, that's for sure. Now, I totally understand why the Dodgers, A, would want to play keep away, but maybe B, Dave, we're talking insurance policy here because of Shohei Ohtani and the indefinite timeline for him to get back on the mound. If it were the case in which we knew that Ohtani was, let's say, September 1st, okay, he's trending well, you know, things are looking better as far as what his rehab and his recovery are, then maybe they're not as hot and bothered about it. Cause say, oh, it's fine. We'll run out Yamamoto. We'll run out Ohtani. They're hoping to get Blake Snell back. But you've got Robleski, who has been outstanding so far this year. And all of a sudden, Roki Sasaki, the last couple of weeks, looks like the guy that you got back in January of 2025. So that being said, Dodgers are going to Dodger. They're going to do what they got to do. But Dave, I think for them, they need to get a little more athletic in the infield, not only in the short term. I mean, they have the guys they have now, but they also have an eye on the horizon. Freddie Freeman getting long in the tooth. So is Mookie Betts. Tommy Edman, not exactly your difference maker there for the long term. So, yeah, they've got some holes to plug here, not in 2026, but you can understand the dynamic here. If you got to go through the Dodgers, you got to neutralize left-handed power. Tarek Skubal, as good as it gets, along with Chris Sale, if you're the Atlanta Braves, to try and slay the dragon.
I get the feeling, and maybe this is just me and not the consensus out there, that we've forgotten about the Braves a little bit because they've had this lead for so long, and yet they've had injuries, and all the talk's been about the resurrection of the Phillies and Don Mattingly and what they might be able to do with that rotation in the postseason. Of course, the Dodgers as well. We should talk about them going for the three-peat, the Brewers with the Miz. My question, Jensen, is that plus 550, they're the third betting choice behind the Dodgers and the Brewers to win the pennant. If Anthopoulos is talking about a deal like that, even if it's not Skubal, but a secondary move in that rotation, would that be a play on team? Is there value in that number if they actually do add before the trade deadline?
I would go get him now at 11-1 to win the World Series instead. That's what I would do. And if you want to do our classic cross-sport parlay, I think we can probably look at, you know, potentially Cameron Young to finish top 20. Can he finish top 20 in this tournament? Like, I mean, he should.
Oh,
right?
Yes,
he should.
Yes.
That gets you to 17-1 for a Braves World Series future right now. If you want to put that up there, if Wyndham Clark has a great, like, I'm playing around here. Cameron Young, sure. Wyndham Clark to both finish top 20 this weekend, parlay with the Braves to win the World Series. That gets you a Braves World Series ticket at 35-1. Now, that's extremely palatable. Again, play around with how you want to look at it, but there are ways to drive up that price. But if you want to stand alone, I'd rather have the Braves double-digit World Series ticket in pocket, because thinking of the American League, I would have to believe that the Braves might even be a short World Series favorite to whoever would come out of the American League. Think about it that way. If you're looking for a potential monetization opportunity, let's assume that that happens. And even I don't care. Insert American League team here. I can't see an American League team being a favorite in the World Series right now. If it's Dodgers, if it's Braves, just knowing how those lineups and those pitching staffs are constructed and what will happen after the deadline. So that gives you a plus money series price in the World Series to come back if you wanted to guarantee some profit.
Just from my buddies in the Meet the Mess group text every day, I will not admit that in a court of law if I took the Braves to win the World Series. Right? That would be a quiet ticket that I would tuck away. You know, I kind of want to zig when others zag, Jensen. You know this. And I wonder if it's time to start looking at the Mariners now that they've really been disappointing. They do get a key win yesterday. But Jerry Dipoto, the GM there, really could be under the microscope here as far as to what they might do before this trade deadline. Let's hear from Joel Sherman. This was on MLB Network, talking about what the M's might do.
Between now and 6 p.m. on Monday, I think Jerry Dipoto is under as much pressure as any other executive in the sport, because they need to find a late-inning reliever and at least a bat, while hoping that Cal Raleigh wakes up, while hoping that Julio Rodriguez, who kind of went into a slump again in July, hoping that Naylor, who they gave 5 years to beforehand, finds some of last year. This is a desperate time for a team that must get in, and really, I would argue, must win the division along the way here, and it has been a bad few months for them.
Yeah.
It has. It's been frustrating to watch if you're an M's backer, that's for sure. But, you know, I will say this, kind of like what Joel was getting at there. You're waiting for the back of the bubblegum card to do what the Padres, as I talked about here a couple weeks ago, have started to do, right? Tatis hit, Machado had 3 hits yesterday for the Padres. Can you just wait on that as a GM and say, I got to wait for these other guys to do what they normally do, time's running out, or I got to get reinforcements?
They're going to get reinforcements. It's going to happen. And I may end up having to die on this hill, because I don't want to get away from what I know as a player. And what I do know is that we respect the marathon of the season, Dave. It may not have gone the way that they want offensively to start, but they can erase all of these issues with a very strong 6-week finish. And Jerry Dipoto, I had talked with him on MLB Network Radio a couple of weeks ago, mentioned to you the conversation Jim Bowden and I had with him. He was pretty effusive, saying that they are invested in finding middle of the order power, particularly a right-handed bat. They are willing to trade one of Luis Castillo or Emerson Hancock. They're going to be able to absolutely strike you out to death as far as their bullpen. And the fact that there's a little smoke around Mason Miller potentially coming to Seattle, you want to talk about the inability to score from the sixth inning on, maybe even from the fifth inning on. I don't care. The Mariners are still the scariest staff top to bottom in the American League. No one can match them. And that's with all due respect to the Yankees, but give me that offense over the Yankee offense right now, even with Aaron Judge coming back, because I think they will find their footing. I've told you before, it's probably the Taurus in me. I am loyal to a fault, and maybe I will get burned, but there is a reason I sat there in March and thought, damn, this is a really good team. They were right on the precipice of it last year. No one could have expected that this would have happened with Cal Raleigh and the struggles. Got a homer last night. Maybe that ignites him a little bit. Maybe he gets going a little bit. Dave, I can't quit Trader Jerry. He's going to make moves. And still, they have the hard part figured out. You have a knockdown rotation. You have a knockdown bullpen. And you have an offense that just needs a little bit of continuity here in the last 2 months, and they can absolutely blow through the American League.
Plus 650, fourth betting choice to win the pennant in the American League. That could be a play on spot. I might be looking one of those cross-sport parlays to get that number over double digits, Jensen. When we come back, we're getting closer and closer to that Hall of Fame game. Let's talk about a team very close to your neck of the woods right there in Cleveland. The Browns, you're on the clock next right here. Peace by the books. We'll be right back.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
The Circus Survivor documentary is back and bigger than ever. $18.7 million are on the line. A new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Episode two is going to air 9 p.m. Eastern. That is tonight. So watch every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, storylines shaping the season. If you missed episode one, it's on YouTube right now. All you have to do is search VSiN Live. So whether you play Circus Survivor like we do or just love the drama, you don't want to miss this series. It really is excellent. New episodes every Wednesday night, like tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. So check that out today. We do have some, I would say, somewhat breaking news here. Not tongue-in-cheek breaking news, but real breaking news. So we're getting multiple reports out of the ATL here, Jensen, that Tua Tagovailoa is dealing with a tight back. Michael Penix is still not practicing with his knee injury. So they just signed the veteran Cooper Rush. Yes, former Cowboy great Cooper Rush is going to be there until Cooper can get up to speed. And that's from Adam Schefter, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV. Jack Strand, I thought he was a member of the White Stripes. He is going to be getting all of the team snaps, it seems like, until maybe Cooper Rush can get some of those. Jensen, is a Falcons backer, not exactly what you want to hear as camp breaks.
Not great, Bob. That is really significant news. I mean, yeah, especially the way that Kevin Stefanski wants to run the offense. Did someone pass up Trevor Siemian? Trevor Siemian not able to, not able to go again.
Jack Strand.
Jack Strand's going to be the guy. Okay. Well, is it the burning, you know, room emoji? Everything's fine for you right now. How you feeling?
Not great, Bob, as a great way to put it. The great GIF that is. I would say I hope that obviously with Tua being a veteran, that hopefully this is just a flare up and it's not anything too significant. But just this is the problem, right? With a guy that's had multiple injuries, and normally they're serious in nature of concussion relation. We're hoping it's nothing like that. But again, Michael Penix is a guy that you, as much as I like Michael Penix, and I do, and I told you the bet was independent of the quarterback. This is a Kevin Stefanski in Kevin I trust, but I need one of those two guys to be the starting quarterback, or else I think I can throw those tickets and burn them right now to win the division and make the over happen. What do you got?
I can assuage your issues here. Adam Schefter just posting Tua Tagovailoa's back issue, not considered serious. And he should be back next week. I told you this is one of the worst times of the year. Greatest shape of his life, completely different person. Back issues here, not practicing there. A lot of media members getting their run for people and overreaction early weeks here in training camp.
Okay, this time last year I faded the Rams because Matty Stafford had a bad back. Can we get the Stafford back and give that to Tua? And then I won't have to worry at all because Stafford goes on to win MVP. Who saw that coming? I don't know if we've got any QBs that might be in the MVP conversation for the Cleveland Browns, but that's where we'll be getting the discussion today in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
I mean, you're so well connected in that area. You know the tone and tenor of the offseason. I guess once you traded away the Browns did Myles Garrett, it kind of shifted. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. And it feels like, just from the layman, and you tell me if this is accurate from somebody that's there, on the outside looking in, it seems calmer than years past. Is that about to break once we start talking Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback room? What's this offense going to look like? Because defensively, we always looked at Myles Garrett, but he's not there anymore. Does all the focus go back down the spotlight to the quarterback room?
You've never seen the hysteria of Berea, Dave. It is a life experience. It really is. This is, you know, General Hospital has been one of the longest running soap operas in TV history. The next closest one is training camp with the Cleveland Browns, because everything is overblown. Everything is overanalyzed. We will not do that in a Lewis Ross administration. What we will do, let's start at the top. And you nailed it. It's the Myles Garrett trade. And did that signify kind of the changing of the guard? You know, there's a lot of people here that believe getting a younger edge rusher in Jared Verse, and the guy's a two-time Pro Bowler. Okay. Still pretty good. You know, the first couple of years, he's been pretty nice. And then you also get the 2027 first round selection, the 28 second round pick, and a 29 third round pick. Okay. Andrew Berry trying to you know, weave the way around. And the offensive line, Dave, was a huge priority for this group. They did bring in Zion Johnson, a guard from the Chargers on a three-year deal. Elton Jenkins, offensive lineman from the Packers. Titus Howard was a trade from the Texans. And then they did re-sign Tevin Jenkins. Now, the big investment was in the draft. When you got Spencer Fano from Utah for the Utes, when you think about what he will do immediately stepping in and being that offensive line difference maker, I don't want to put him in the Joe Thomas ilk, but that's kind of the idea, is where they went to go get him. And the reason they took him there was to be that game changer on the line from day one. The other part is the skill positions, Dave, offensively. And you can look at young receivers one of two ways. First, let's start with Casey Concepcion, who was the other first rounder that they got. Great possession receiver, highly touted coming out of college, a guy that has great hands. And then you get the over-the-top threat with Denzel Boston, who they took in the second round. Jerry Jeudy, your veteran holdover here. And then the emergence of Harold Fannin Jr. in the tight end room last year, Dave. Remember, they moved on from David Njoku, but Harold Fannin Jr. was a guy that they really saw a lot of development from. Quinshon Judkins, before the injury, really, really was a guy that they felt pretty good about. So offensively, you can see the parts there. But Dave, what do we ask all the time? Who's your trigger man? Is it going to be Deshaun Watson? Is it going to be Shedeur Sanders? Enter the soap opera portion of the breakdown, because that's what it's going to come down to. You will never see a more highly scrutinized 7-on-7. You know, guys, we have a tradition, Dave, where beat writers in this town will be live tweeting, live posting the incompletions, the interceptions. It is so ridiculous on so many levels, but it is a race. It's a race right now. I know Watson minus 215 to be the week one starting quarterback. Shedeur plus $1.68. Remember, we are a couple of years removed from Joe Flacco being like a double digit, you know, 12-1. And, you know, there was a lot of smoke around that too. So I will ask you, as an outsider looking in, I think you can buy a little bit in the offense. You can buy some stock, but I need reassurance, Dave, of who I'm getting from the start of the season. And I need to know that Todd Monken is committing to this person for at least the first 4 weeks before I can make any futures bets on this team whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's arguably the worst contract in the history of sports, and it still feels like that's hamstringing this team to the point where they have to play Deshaun Watson, right? With the money that they're spending, guaranteed money, and it's been years now. I mean, it's crazy to think of how much damage that contract has done to them and the flexibility or the lack thereof that they have because of it. I'll say this, and I said it right here with you, the day that they made the trade, we came right on these airwaves. I love that trade for Cleveland. I really did. I really like what's not to like in Jared Verse, getting him. I'm not saying you're getting a younger version of Myles Garrett, but certainly it could be one of those proverbial win-wins. It makes a lot of sense for LA, but I think it really made a lot more sense for Cleveland to make that move, to get a guy like Verse. And Cleveland Browns fans, you're really going to like it when you get an additional first-round pick next year, an additional second-round pick in 2028, and an additional third-round pick in 2029. So you've set yourself up with a really good player. Two-time Pro Bowlers, you mentioned, Jensen, they don't just, you know, fall off trees here in the NFL. You got a real player, not some throw-in here for Jared Verse. I go back to the Micah Parsons deal, and when they got a guy like Kenny Clark, who, you know, I really liked. Those are the type of deals I like. When you get back a viable player at a similar position and draft picks that you can maneuver with, I think the future's bright. That all being said, to quote the great movie Major League right there in Cleveland, 5.5 is a win total? Too high. What do you mean too high? It's too high. It's gone. That's what I know it means. Like, I don't know that I could play the over here, Jensen, on this football team. As you mentioned at the quarterback position, I have no idea what this incarnation of Deshaun Watson is going to look like if he is in fact the guy. Is it bettable for me to just assume that, you know, Denzel Ward's great player, highest paid cornerback again for the second time. I like Jared Verse. They've got some pieces defensively, but Are we going to bank on that defense to keep them in enough games without Myles Garrett to get to 6 wins with this offense? I don't think I can get there.
Total yards per game, they ranked fourth in the NFL, fourth best on defense. Yards per play, they ranked fourth best. Passing yards per game, they ranked third best. They're going to be in games. If you get offensive cotton, I know, listen, we've had all kinds of different playoff teams. We've had at least 4 new teams that have made the playoffs for 36 straight years. I'm not saying it's happening here, but this is a damn talented offense. If you get the quarterback right, and I think they're going to surprise some people.
Look at that. We'll have to table that conversation for another day. When we come back, much more to get to here. What goes up must come down. Stock up, stock down. It's next. VSiN by the Books.